B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Cliff Kingsbury's the one calling all the plays for the Washington Commanders. He's been dialed in so far. Cliff Kingsbury talking to the media ahead of Week 9 against the Giants.
Mary, right? How much planning goes into something like that? I mean, just in practice during the week?
A ton of reps throughout the course of a year. What's crazy, we have a guy on our staff, Dave Rye, who's been a part of five now. So three in Green Bay, one in Arizona, and one here. So he's kind of the expert. But when we got to Arizona my first year, he and Tom Clements, who's Green Bay quarterback coach, legendary, one of the best quarterback coaches of all time, coached a part of three with Rodgers. So we kind of bought in and have been fortunate to be a part of two of them. And the guys, I mean, it's about players, not plays, like I've said. And the guys just executed flawlessly and incredible play. And the last one was COVID, so there were no fans, and it was just kind of us screaming. So this was a lot more exciting. And that was really, Kyler made an incredible play, and he saw a hop one-on-one and took his chance. It was just hop going up and making a play, and this one took everybody. And so that was really special.
Hi, Coach. You met the Giants earlier during the season, and this team is much different team this time around. Could you just talk a little bit about the matchup this time around and what you're looking to see?
Yeah, you always hope you made significant improvement from week two up until now, and there's always a bit of a battle of attrition this time of year with injuries and things of that nature. But they've played really well on defense. They continue to get better, not giving up many points, very disruptive as far as recording sacks. I believe they lead the league. So it's a impressive group to watch. Shane has done a great job schematically each week, I think, really tailoring it to their strengths. And so it'll be a huge challenge.
Being the first time that Jaden's going to see a team for the second time in his NFL career, what kind of challenges does that provide for him?
It's always difficult. You know each other really well at that point. You have a lot of intel, and you've seen each other on the field. And so to me, it's about not trying to do too much and just stay within yourself and execute at a high level, which he's done so far this year. But it's a disruptive group. Like I said, I think they've gotten better and better. And the games always haven't ended the way they wanted. They've been in every game, and the defense played at a high level.
When you have a receiver like Terry McLaurin, what's the balance between having an offense or a playbook that goes to him too much or not enough during the course of a game or course of a season?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, every game with a guy like that, you come out of it saying, I wish we would have gotten it to him more. I mean, he's that type of a talent, and he plays hard. And like I told you before, the beauty of him is he never asks for it. He never comes back, complains, never gets on the quarterback. He just does his job. And when that guy is doing it like that and blocking, playing without the ball, then everybody else is going to get in line. And that's kind of the beauty of him. But yeah, I think he's a guy you want to make sure every week, if the money's on the table, like the ball's going to him.
Jaden has had a number of those throws where they haven't had a high probability for success. For touchdowns, why is he good in those times? I think he's had more than any quarterback in the NFL this year. Why is he good in those moments?
Yeah, just he has a fearlessness about him when he plays. You know, he cuts it loose and believes, and you know, he in practice, it's not like he's just trying to complete it. He's trying to make the perfect throw, and he judges himself on that, which you know, the great ones do.
And is there one, first of all, it's funny because we watch him on Fridays and the other guys are sticking it in that yellow bucket and he's not. And it's funny, you put him in a game and you're going to put your money on him, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's not great at the trash can drill, but he's really good on the field. So I think that'll work out for him.
What are those throws that he's made this year that just jumps out to you besides the Hail Mary?
Ooh. He's had a bunch. One of the most impressive throws all year was the one that Luke caught. I think it was the first drive of the game. Sweat's barreling down on him, pulling his jersey, and he drops it in there. You know, Luke almost gets his feet down, but his like off platform, off schedule stuff has been really, really impressive.
You guys have obviously you're up tempo a lot. It looked like the Bears were trying, I don't know if it was late substitutions or trying to slow that down. Was that is that kind of what was happening, and what was? Is that something that's kind of new that you guys are seeing?
No, we've seen it sporadically throughout, and it's just really on us to make sure that we're concise with our substitutions and we're nailing it. Otherwise, they're going to be allowed to, you know, hold the ball, and when we sub, they sub, and they tend to take their time doing that, which I understand. It's part of the game, and it's built in that way. But that just means we have to be really good when we do go fast or we sub that we're dialed in.
What is the protocol, I guess? I know they get to sub before you guys can snap, but, like, they seem like they're doing it, like, fairly late. Like, what's the – I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's very subjective, crew to crew, and yeah, I'm not going to get into that too much, but they are allowed ample time, in my opinion.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. Obviously, as an office coordinator play call, you want to stay as flexible as possible. How valuable is it then to have so many guys that you can trust to help protect if need be or chip? You know, Austin, obviously, Luke McCaffrey, John Bates, et cetera. How valuable is that for you?
Yeah, it's been huge, and take pride in it, too. Those guys take pride in that and playing without the ball and making sure they're buying more time. And it's hard for these linemen to block those guys. They're some of the most dynamic athletes in the world playing DN and rush in this league. And so you're going to need help at some point, and we try to do that and take some off of them. And those guys really embrace that role. And a lot of times, you know, they're the ones who get the ball, too, because it tends to be they'll chip, defense will drop them or forget they were there, and then they end up catching a check down for a positive play. So it has been a good part of our offense, and it's been cool to see those guys really embrace it. To be better. I thought we moved the ball well at times in Chicago, but had a chance to really put it away a couple times. I thought that could put a lot of pressure on them, make them more one-dimensional, and we just floundered around down there, whether it was bad play calls or not the type of execution that we expect. And it was similar to the New York game as well. Just have to call better plays and have to execute better, and our guys know that. We can't expect to win like that. Defense did a tremendous job continuing to get the ball back, continues to give us chances to put that team away, and we just didn't do it.
Take one more. In that Giants game where you guys take seven field goals, is there any part of getting a little conservative around the red zone or in that area, knowing the Giants didn't have a kicker and they weren't going to field goals there?
I wish I could say so. No, we were trying to score as many touchdowns as possible. We just did not get it done. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I like that line from Cliff joking that Jaden's not that good at the trash can drill, but he's still pretty good when he's on the field. Yeah. You know, with Cliff, I think he is striking the right tones. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought the Bears were really, really intentional about trying to slow the game down a lot and trying to do the really late substitutions.
They did that on purpose.
Now, and Cliff clearly was pissed about it and didn't want to say it, right?
Well, I think the referees have to be more cognizant. Yeah, you get the ample time to do it.
To sub.
But you watch them walking back. They were taking their damn time. And the ref just sits there. If they're not doing it in a regular manner, the ref should just move out the way and let them snap. Catch them offside.
Well, you can blow the whistle and then it's 12 men on
Hell
the field.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those things that there's probably not a lot of answers for, but at some point, if it's clearly intentional, let them blow the whistle and let them snap it, and it's 12 men, and then it'll change. Because what you generally notice, when there are 12 men on the defensive side of the ball, some dude, whether it's a big 300-pound D-tackle or it's a safety, they are hauling ass to get off the field.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get caught in that 12-man penalty.
True.
And yet, against Washington, they're able to just chill.
And just walk. Like, oh, I'm just lollygagging around, and the ref allows it. They should know at that moment what they're trying to do.
Totally.
So
I totally agree with you. Landini, I'd like to run Joe Witt, too. I'll let you tell me when you want to do it. Kind of looking ahead to Sunday and then Tuesday, you know, you do have this kind of lingering trade deadline. What, if any, DQ kind of shut that down yesterday, said, yeah, you know, I talked to Adam and that's his part of town. Do you think Quinn and Peters are having more advanced conversations around that?
Around talking?
Trade deadline?
I'm sure they're talking about, hey, look, man, we didn't expect to be here. You think you want to try and ask somebody else? And if so, who? So I can start putting out feelers and figure it out. You know? Or maybe he comes in, just asks a question. Dan, like, nope. I like what we have. We're going to try to go with this year. Let's save that stuff for later on. Then Adam gets to decide if he wants to do that or not.
Yeah, I think you got to kind of slow play it to Tuesday afternoon. I think there are – the only spot I really see that you can add, barring an injury this weekend that would impact your roster build-out, if they were to lose a lineman or a D end or something, then it changes. Mm-hmm. The only thing right now I'd be really interested in adding that probably won't cost much is a veteran corner. And there are veteran corners. You can look around the league, and not necessarily the Denzel Ward where you're willing to pay a high price, or even like a former first rounder, J.C. Horn or something. But you can get a veteran corner that knows how to play football and can help a playoff team without paying that high of a price.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's a fifth rounder or a sixth or something.
But whatever you do has to be the right price.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people just, they hear trade deadline, they automatically assume you got to go get somebody, and they don't care what the price is. But the price needs to be right no matter who it is.
Agreed. I think that has to be the expectation regardless. That I will not be mad if they pay up, if they're able to find something that they think helps them now and for the long term.
Yeah.
Pay for it. Go get. We've said it 100 times. I don't think it's going to be available, but Denzel Ward, like, that's a dude that helps you for the long haul. Go get him. If that requires, you're probably going to draft around 26. You know what I mean? 20. Yeah.
Let's hope we're in the late 20s.
Yeah.
when you're drafted in the late 20s, that's a good thing. That means that you were good the year before.
I did want to reference this story real quick, and I will. If I know me and you, we'll run out of time. Dave Zangaro is a friend of ours. Dave Zangaro covers the Eagles, and he had a story this morning on NBC Sports Philadelphia, how Jahan Dotson is staying patient without seeing targets. And he's got some good quotes in here from Jahan. And I just think right now is a really good point of time to remember that you got faith in Adam Peters, okay? Yep. Whatever happens between now and Tuesday afternoon, listen. There's some much more important stuff that's going to happen between now and Tuesday afternoon. You could let the trade deadline be secondary on that list. Me and B both early voted. It's way easier. You should do it. I can't imagine the people that are going to go vote Tuesday now knowing how easy early voting is.
There'll be some people that's going to wait anyway.
I know. And, I mean, most of the time I've been that dude, but now that I've seen the light, I ain't never going back. I didn't know this. Did you read this article yet?
Nope, I just saw it, and I did not have much interest in reading it.
How many? This is wild. How many catches do you think Dotson has on the season? And he was traded before the season started, so there was a little acclimation.
He has about 7 to 10.
Dotson right now has 13 targets and 6 catches for 35.
Damn, I missed that.
Yeah, you were
7 to 10.
You went over. You wouldn't have got. Wow. You would have been out. Price is Right rules. Mm-hmm. I like Jahan. I knew the young man. I know that there's clearly some questions about what the hell happened.
Listen, man. I like Jahan. I would always talk to his mom and dad.
Nice people.
But then all of a sudden, there's a point in everybody's career and everybody's life where you're going to hit that point, and either you're going to pissed to get off the pot. You know, we got to do one or two, all right? And he was still sitting on the pot.
Totally.
You know, you listen, you're going to be challenged, and you better damn well be willing to face that challenge and fight it. You know what I mean? And he wasn't. And we've talked to people, we talked to Ike, and I've talked to several people since. And they called me when it happened, And they say, I said, look, man, I'm going to have to be honest with y'all. They said, well, that's why we called you. And I was straight, brutally honest. And they have seen everything I said. So did he change? No, he hadn't changed yet. Because they're seeing what I said on the first day. That's nobody's fault but himself. Because the dude has extreme talent. Route running, it was his thing. You know, so he has that. But you got to find a way to get past your thought process and all the stuff that gets you hung up and go make it happen.
It's funny you say that because Dan Quinn yesterday talked about there's always going to be stuff, and it's how you deal with the stuff and get past the stuff. And sure, he's talking about football, and this team has to get past a wild Hail Mary win last week, all those things. But in life, man, like in life, my oldest had a little cold, and a little cold in our house offsets the entire flow of things, right? But like, it doesn't mean I'm not on the air at 10 a.m. You know, like it just, life is going to keep happening and it's not always smooth and you got to push through it. I think Dan Quinn is so good at approaching that. He talked earlier this year that he likes guys that have a little journey on them, that have overcome adversity.
There you go.
And I feel like for Dotson, in a lot of ways, whenever the adversity started, and I think it was last year, I don't know that he's pushed through it yet. I thought these quotes were really interesting. Dotson hasn't had a catch in either of the last two games. And last week, who did Philly beat up pretty good? The Bengals?
Yeah.
He didn't get a single target. Zangaro talked to him. These are the quotes. Asked if that bothered him. He said, a younger me, I would say 100%. But me now, especially with the people I have in my corner, just me always trying to mentally challenge myself to be better and better and better, I feel like I'm in a very good headspace where that doesn't bother me. A younger me, that would have bothered me. I would have been mad. But it's bigger than me at the end of the day. I'm all about team, team, team. And whatever I can do to help them win football games, I'm going to do. Whether that's zero targets, whether that's 15 targets, whether that be the game-winning block, whether that be two plays, I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability to help this team win.
Well, a younger me would be pissed off. A older me would be pissed off. But the older me would be pissed off but not say anything.
Right.
I would internally take that, and my work and what they see me doing afterward would tell them he's about some business right now. You know what I mean? Everybody has reached points in their life where they feel like somebody don't believe in them. Do you just sit back and let it happen, or you find a way to let them know that they're thinking completely wrong? You know what I mean? So, hey, we'll see.
Right. It's a fascinating situation up there, but it also kind of doesn't matter.
True.
Washington's playing New York this week. Good luck to whatever's going on with Jahan Dotson. But the focus here is the New York Football Giants, Daniel Jones, Devin Singletary, Malik Nabers. What does Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt have in store for the Giants? You'll find out next. It's B. Mitchell Finley. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fam. Happy Halloween, everybody out there. Halloween's all about being scary and spooky. You know one dude who definitely gives off the kind of scary vibes? Like, don't mess with this dude.
Who?
Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt.
Totally.
The whole DMV is doing nothing but celebrating after that Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Except Joe Witt. Here he is.
I was really pleased with the efforts of the men from a communication standpoint to start off with. We understood that the Bears were probably the second most, not probably, they are the second most tempo team in the league behind us, okay? And why do you go tempo? You go tempo for a number of reasons. One, from a structure standpoint, what you can do to the defense, typically you keep a defense in their four or five down structure, or you keep them to middle field open, middle field closed while you're going fast, and you can be, they can be very predictable in what they are going to deploy against that tempo speed. So what did we do? All right, we asked our men to, let's not be simplistic in that, okay? Let's be able to go four and five down. Let's be able to go middle field open, middle field close. Let's be able to bring a pressure from the field and from the boundary while they're doing tempo. And asking them to do that, the communication had to be A1. And it starts with Bobby Wagner. he was able to get us into our tempo calls, and there were one word calls where I was sending one word down and he would communicate it across the board that he would have to put the front, he would have to put the coverage, the direction of the blitz, and we didn't miss it at one beat. So I think that was a part of the reason that we had them playing behind, because they were anticipating us being in one deal, and we were able to get to a pressure if we wanted to. We were able to get the four down, five down when we wanted to get to it with their tempo. And so I give credit to the men. We talked about coming up here a number of times and said communication was a little bit of a problem for us. And if you go back and look at the film, you can see the over-communication of the men, and that's why we were able to set our feet. We were able to play downhill, and, you know, We let the big run get out. That was because we came under blocks and we didn't get off a block on the edge. That we got to shore that up. And then at the last touchdown, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't particularly like the call. I gave a safe call, but it wasn't the perfect call. And we had the perfect call in the bag. So I got to be better in that situation right there. So with that, any questions about the last game or game moving forward?
You mentioned Bobby. Is what you were describing, is that what makes – Bobby so great, or is this something that's sort of born of his experience, his time in the league, and everything he's seen?
It's just part of what makes him great. You know, first, he studies more than anybody. When we're in there as defensive coaches, and I know everybody talks about the way that Jaden prepares, Bobby's in there as long as we are on Tuesday when on players' day, you know, their day off. So I can easily go. We start off with the run game. I can go in there and talk to him, or Ken can go. Ken usually goes in there and talks to him. Then we go to the pass game, screen game, whatever, and he's there the whole day watching film on his own. Then he makes the rest of the linebackers come in for part of the day and watch with him. And so that's what makes him special. And that's why he's going to, you know, have that jacket on here when he gets finished playing.
He's almost like a player coach.
Yeah, he is, exactly. Yeah. You know, there was a couple times when they went tempo, and I told him, if you feel stressed, you know what I want to call, you made the call. So it was four times in the game. He made the call, all right? And he made the right call, because there was no wrong call. As long as he knows, hey, we're going to make the call with the right personnel group, boom, we'll rock with it. And that's the confidence that we have in him, that I have in him, and that his teammates have in him, that he's going to put us in the proper call.
Mikey Sanders, still just his play on the outside, especially of late, has mm-hmm. he surprised you at all with what he's been able to do outside?
He hasn't surprised me. It's needed. I've been pleased with it. I've been pleased with the physicality of not only him and Noah. We talk about the toughness of our defense is how well our corners will tackle. And those two young men have tackled really well. And bringing that physicality, the speed, and now with him being outside, he's learning how to read from that, from, you know, it's different from being outside and inside, but he's learning it, and he, you know, it's gonna be hard to move him back inside because he's playing really well outside.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Great.
Just your initial thoughts on Johnny Newton getting his first career sack this weekend?
Oh man, excited. We talked last week about Johnny being able to help fill the void with JA being out, you know, and that's a big void to fill, because Jay is just a really good football player. But for him to – not just him on that play that he got the sack, but the whole defense to recognize, we understood that they were going to try to hit the screen game on us, and screens have hit us in the past, okay? And for everybody to recognize it, to recognize the formation, we talk about looks to own, and then for him to get the play. But you got to give credit to Klee on that, because if Klee's not in that window – the quarterback throws it. And so, but I'm excited for him. He had a number of other plays in the game that were really good. He had constant pressure on the quarterback. He played the run game well. So I was pleased with just not that him getting his first sack, but the way that he played.
And then you talk a lot about learning through adversity. Johnny just getting even onto the NFL field to start his career has had some adversity. Can you just talk about what you've kind of learned about the young man as he's battled through all that?
He's the type of player that we wanted to bring in here. He's a commander. All right. He works extremely hard. He's tough. He's physical. He's smart. He's diligent with what he does. And so the brotherhood that you hear that these men talk about is real. There's no fluff to it. Those guys care about each other, and they put it out there for each other. And if there's somebody that's not willing to do that, you know, it sticks out. And so he's a culture guy. He's a guy that we can build a foundation around.
Hey, Coach.
Hey.
This defense has improved week in and week out in almost every category. Could you talk a little bit about the secondary, that whole group, and what you like about what you're seeing them going into this game against the Giants?
Yeah, you know, the last 5 weeks, the whole defense, we've played well. Even the Baltimore game, you know, that's part of the last 5 weeks. But the secondary, Jason Simmons, Tommy Donatell, William Gay, they've just done an outstanding job of gluing those guys together, okay? We talked about the front rushing as a unit. Well, they're covering as a unit, you know. And, you know, there's times that we might be in man concepts, but we still have to pass routes, you know, if we want to lag it or whatever we want to do from that standpoint. But when we're in our zone concepts, over routes, we've done a really nice job of passing those. I don't think we've given up a lot of explosive passes. I know we're – I think we're like – sixth or seventh in the league and fewest explosive passes, and we would like to be, you know, top five in that area, because if they don't get chunks, it becomes hard to score. I think the last five games, I think we're giving up at 15.6 or 7 points a game. And if you're in that range, all right, now you're playing high level defense. And so the secondary, they're not giving up chunks, and they're really communicating and playing together, and we have to continue that. All right, we can't come up here next week and say, but this game, you know. So that's what we're working for.
And this team is much different playing the Giants this time around. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about this matchup this time?
You know, once again, they're a team that has a really good scheme. I know, you know, they might be a little bit frustrated with the numbers or the output, but the scheme is really good. They have outstanding players that we're going to have to make sure that we account for. You know, Neighbors, he had a really good day on us last time. So I have to do a better job of making sure that we have a plan for him that doesn't allow him to just get loose like he did last time. But it really starts with the quarterback. The quarterback is a guy that has arm talent and can beat you with his feet, and they're not afraid to run him. Okay, and so that opens up a whole bunch of things that they can do, and we just have to make sure that we communicate at a high level. We understand what we anticipating them to do, and we go execute our plan.
To the point, Daniel Jones, you guys did a pretty good job last time you played of not letting him beat you too much with his feet, but you also only kind of got one sack on him. How do you balance kind of that running control, rushing the quarterback controlled, and not letting him beat you, but also trying to get those big negative plays?
Well, part of the first three games, we didn't get sacks on anybody. So I think we've really starting to find a niche of how we want to utilize the men, putting them in better positions. Like, you know, we talk about the first couple of games. Was it the Bengals game? It was a critical situation. I didn't have Usa on the field. That's not very good coaching, is it? You know, and so I made sure that after that game, I say, Joe, I don't care. You know, and the reason I didn't have him on the field was I wanted coverages that he wasn't necessarily in the package. Well, it's players over plays. So we're making sure that we have the right players in situations, and let the players, if there's a play that I want that Usa's not on, that he's not a part of it, I'm not running it. It's not that good of a play if he's not part of it, you know. And so we'll generate the pressure because we're putting people in better positions, and it's players over plays. Give them fast plays, let them set their feet, let them play downhill, and they'll play with balance.
You said that Bobby was having the other linebackers come in to watch film with him. How many times have you been around groups like that where a linebacker's leading it that way and having those guys come in like that?
It doesn't necessarily have to be a linebacker all the time. It could be anybody, but I've been around it before. You know, typically guys will bring people in, but the good teams do it. And usually it's the good defenses that I've been a part of that do it. And it's somebody like a Bobby. You know, Charles Woodson used to do it in Green Bay with the whole secondary. You know, he bring everybody in. I would put a tape together. Boom, they'll watch it and go. So it's usually those guys that are really better, that are better players, that want everybody to see it how they see it as well.
Because of that, how much faster do you feel like this defense is playing even compared to 4 or 5 weeks ago?
The running hit has been there the whole year, all right? Now, the anticipation and the speed of the defense, I think it has picked up because they're just communicating better, and we're finding our own rhythm of, okay, how to use each individual better, and they're gelling better, you know, and they have a better anticipation on what I'm going to call in certain windows, you know. And so this is a growth process, and we're still growing, and we're trying to get 1% better each game. And if we can keep doing that, we would continue to play high-level football. If we don't, all right,
you know, we'll get up here and talk about why we didn't.
Jeremy Chin thought had a good game.
Yeah.
How have you seen his how him evolve over the course of the season? Maybe, you know, took some time, maybe perhaps, to get comfortable. And how have you kind of seen his role develop?
Well, I should have not neglected him when I talked about Bobby, because when the calls went in, he made sure the back end had the one word calls. And his communication ability, he makes everybody around him better. And then he's just been playing solid football on his own after making everybody else, getting them on the same page and making them better. I've been pleased with what Jeremy's doing. I wish I probably would send him a little bit more, but I haven't. And so, but he's a player that's really good that I need to utilize a little bit more.
And with your defense.
Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt talking there. I love that line. It's players over plays. It's
always.
Just, it's Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's, personnel over scheme, whatever phrase you want to hear. I love when coaches are willing to admit that they are not the ones out there making the tackles, mm-hmm. and you need the players on the field that can make the best tackles. It's refreshing, and it's true, and it's honest, and it's accurate. I enjoyed that. I could listen to Joe Witt talk all the time.
Yes.
Something tells me Joe Witt's going to be a head coach. The more and more I hear him, and the more and more they can put impressive results, mm-hmm. he's at least going to get interviews, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That ship is coming. The other ship that's coming tonight, Thursday night football, you got Jets, Texans. Let's take a look at some same-game parlay props on the ESPN Bet app for tonight's Houston-New York game. You can find them by tapping the SGP tab next to the matchup. Check this one out. I like this. For your parlay, you could build three legs like this. I think Houston's going to win. The Jets are a mess. So you take Houston on the money line. Don't worry about the points. Plus 110. Now, the Jets are going to be able to move the ball. You got wide receiver Garrett Wilson. Everybody's going to be thinking about Davante Adams. Garrett Wilson is still a stud, and he's probably 10 years younger. So take Garrett Wilson over 50 receiving yards. And then as much as everybody talks about C.J. Stroud, Joe Mixon has been the best offensive weapon for the Houston Texans so far this season. Take Mixon over 70 rushing yards. So you take Houston on the money line, Garrett Wilson over 50 receiving yards, Mixon over 70 rushing yards, parlay those three legs, and your total odds would be plus 275. You got to like that, man. You can make some cash. Download the ESPN Bet app and claim a 30% profit boost to use on your same game parlay for tonight's game. Now, you must be 21 plus. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. What a baseline that is. All right, B, I want to do an exercise real quick. In 10 minutes, Bleep You Thursday. Phone lines will be open. Everybody can get down, all right? Quote Dan Quinn, that's how we get down. Quickly, I wanted to go do an exercise. There are people that are freaked out about Cliff Kingsbury leaving and what that will mean, right? I think it's premature, but I think it's worth pointing out, Kingsbury's still making eight. That's number one.
Yes.
You can always make more money. I'm not naive, but like he's not right now just a well-paid OC. He's making head coach money.
Yep.
So start there. Two, because he's been a head coach, recognizes how hard it is, recognizes what he has right now, you can be a little choosier, right? Like you can be a little pickier, more picky, more choosy, whatever the terms are. So it just got me thinking. I don't know. So you need a situation if you're Cliff. This quarterback class, this draft class, this ain't Caleb, Jaden, Drake, even J.J. McCarthy. Like, last year's draft class, there were a number of players that people loved.
Yep.
I think going into this coming draft class, probably Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, maybe I'm leaving somebody off Quinn Ewers, I don't know.
Could be.
But those dudes aren't going to be the caliber of prospect that came out last year.
Yeah.
If it's me and I have a first pick of quarterbacks this year, it's Cam Ward by a pretty wide stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we're not talking Caleb and Jaden. And Drake May, even. As a prospect, he was elite. So when you add all that up, to me, for Cliff to leave, you got to find damn near a perfect situation that already has a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And those jobs don't often come open.
True.
So
my whole thing is this, man. Eventually, he may. And what did Joe just say that you love so much? Players over what?
Players over plays.
Okay. Eventually, the quarterback is going to be the one making it happen.
Sure.
Not necessarily the play caller.
I agree with you.
You know, and if Jaden is the guy who we have began to think he is, Cliff is going to leave eventually. But Jaden ain't going to stop working because Cliff is gone.
Right.
And still, you can call what you want. The guy got to go out there and make the plays.
And then add on top of that a number of coordinators last year didn't really leave. Ben Johnson, everyone here is aware of that, didn't leave. I imagine Ben Johnson at the end of this season will still be the most coveted offensive coordinator to become a head coach. Maybe it'll be Cliff. Who knows? But Bobby Slowick, I think, is the Texans coordinator, and he decided not to take interviews. But so I'm just saying, think about the type of scenario required for Cliff to even really want to entertain it.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there's that many of them.
Probably not, but I just think stop living in fear. Hell.
The only two that jump off the page to me, and I don't know that there would be a change. Mm-hmm. But I think if the Bengals continue to bottom out here, maybe they want to change something with Zach Taylor. They're not known for paying dudes off, though, and that might require paying a staff off. Now, the Bengals' job, that'd be pretty appealing. If you can get Joe B to stay healthy, you got some weapons, that could be pretty appealing.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know, Brian, but I wonder if Buffalo again falters in the playoffs, how firm McDermott's seat is. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but he's a defensive guy. You've got Josh Allen. Like, maybe you just got to change it up at some point. But, dude, just looking around, the Dolphins, Tua, no thanks. The Pats, the Jets, Tomlin's not going anywhere. Nobody wants the Browns job. Harbaugh's not going anywhere. D'Amico Ryan's isn't going anywhere. Maybe you could talk yourself into Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. I doubt it. You got to really like Jacksonville.
Yeah, but I think, just like we say about players all the time, it's not the color of the team. It's the green.
Sure.
And that could – my whole thing is, I'm going to go with what I just said. That dude that wears number 5, I don't think he's going to stop being good if something were to happen. And I would anticipate something happening if things keep going like it's going.
Totally. You know what's
maybe
funny?
If it's not this year, probably after next year.
You know what's really funny, I think, is the Bears' job could be an interesting one. And I could – frankly, I don't think they should have – kept Eberflus around. They did. I kind of think they'll change that after the season. Arizona, good young quarterback, but they already tried that record.
He's already there.
I just think the assumption that Cliff is 100% gone after this year, I think is a bridge way too far, man.
But I just think that it's something, listen, instead of sitting here getting worried about what could possibly happen, oh, it's going to go to hell in a handbasket. No. I believe that the young man that's in that position is still going to be someone that people want to play with. He's going to still keep working like he's always worked.
Yep.
I don't think he's working like that because of who's coaching him. That's who he is. And if you have that first, you can get everything else.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, what if Vegas gets the top pick? Right now it'd be Carolina again and then Tennessee. 6 again?
I don't know if they're going to just – Tennessee, it's possible.
I think they should be, dude.
Because, listen, man, you can play around with that type of money. For what they pay the guys, it's a lot of money.
Hell, Levi's is on a second round. He's not even on a first rounder.
They can definitely go.
The money's definitely not the issue.
Yeah.
But, like, whoever the GMs are of these programs, do they have the wherewithal to admit a mistake and get – like?
Well, let's say this.
Those are ugly situations.
Those who don't want to admit the mistake and keep trying to fight, oh, it catches them anyway. Because at this point, you're paying them. So if you're the owner, you're going to pay them anyway.
I think everybody needs to chill with the assumption that it's a done deal Cliff leaves. I think it has to be the absolute right job with the right quarterback or the right opportunity to get a quarterback, and that just ain't that simple. What is simple is how Thursdays at 1 o'clock work, okay?
Yeah.
Thursdays at 1 o'clock, it's time for Bleep You Thursday. Whoever has made you mad, whoever has wronged you, whatever slight inconvenience in your life you want to call in and scream about on the radio, this is your opportunity. 800-636-1067. Let's go.